Oi, oi, it's your boy. It's the Jack Slack. Oh, wait, nope, my bad. Hello, it's post show 129. We cover some wild shit today. I don't want to get you too excited, but it gets wild. The best pods are always when Grant and I come in and we're like, yo, dude, I'm a little bit light today. I don't have a lot to talk about. Maybe we bang this one out quick and I'll make some dinner for a change. And then we go for 75 minutes, and let's be real, I'm gonna get Uber Eats, and you can't stop me, because I have adult money now, and I'm beholden to no one. Okay, enough about that. What do we talk about this week? My Hero Academia, Season 7, Episode 13. Sorry, but we got it out of the way early. The elusive samurai Grant isn't caught up because he let me down, and that's what happens. But to be fair, I wasn't caught up the last episode, so we talk briefly about it and give him a little preview of what's to come. We give each other and the audience, because you're in the room with us, a little bit of a preview on the Berserk manga. We're digging it, and there's coverage to come, so brace yourself. Grant was a bachelor for the weekend, and like as all bachelors do, he watched 6 movies. That's right. Not a problem, but he watched 6 movies. I'm not going to list them all here. They're in the description of this episode, and he goes into them, and he classifies them in order of Dave-type movies. So if you know my taste, well, you're in the right place. And then, speaking of movies, I give him my thoughts on the movie Enemy from 2013. Don't worry, despite it being over 10 years old, we give a spoiler territory warning because we're nice dudes. And then we get into the news, which ranges from Hunter Hunter to The Acolyte, because I think it's a requirement we have to end most of our podcast bashing Star Wars. Okay, that's enough. Grant, hit him. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
What up, fella?
How we doing?
I'm good, man. I was just telling you off air, this is the end of an era for us.
Yeah, well, partially half an era.
Somewhat. This is the last podcast I'll record in this office, in this condo.
Yeah, dude.
Which is crazy, because if you think about it, we started the podcast in a different condo where I was recording in my office / kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to figure out like a new recording space.
Yeah, man.
At the new place.
Can't wait to help design your space. Yeah, I just went from hunched over on a chair in the bedroom in the closet to an actual office. So,
you've always been in the closet, dude.
Yeah, dude. Forever and always. But I don't know. It'll be exciting to build new space. And that's always the best part about, you know, whether it's like, you know, you buy a new computer or a new monitor and you make your kind of work your space around it, or you're literally making a new office or a new, you know, you're in a new home or what have you. But it's always fun.
You know what I realized, though? Mm-hmm. Is that, like, at the time when I was, like, calling dibs on, like, what office I would, like, what area of the house sure. I would take as an office. Because I'm going to put Samantha in a closet, right? But I was picking, and I was like, oh, that basement is, like, you know, it's like, the basement is, like, decent for, like, a good, like, cozy, you know, TV unit area.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But also, it's big enough for, like, a semi-office setup.
Sure.
So I was like, well, you know, I'll take the bullet. I'll have the awesome basement set up, and my office just happens to be down there, and you'll never see me. But what I did, like, the one thing about a basement office is, like, there's no, the way the house is set up is, like, there's no door. Like, oh. It's open to, like, the staircase that goes up,
yeah.
To the kitchen, a high traffic area.
Mm.
So, definitely not suited to recording.
Well, you could like make a makeshift like wraparound, like, yeah. like an audio wraparound or a sound wraparound, what have you. Like, you know, we can do egg cartons, or we can, you know, spend the extra dollars and get you something off Amazon there. Just kind of make like a sound wall and close it in.
Yeah, but I want it to be open. That's the thing. So I think I might have
make it a portable unit. Like, it's like a temper, like almost like a, you know, like a changing curtain kind of thing.
Okay, I was gonna say either that, or I'm gonna have to haul my shit upstairs every time we record.
That doesn't sound like fun.
It depends, though, right? Because I run this off a Yeti and a MacBook. So it's one in each hand. I don't know. We'll see.
Hmm.
But those are fun adult problems to solve.
Yeah,
dude, you know what? You'll appreciate this. I was talking to my mom, and she's like, we'd love to get you a housewarming present. And I was like, And I was like, you know what? I think it's time I cash in on some of this. What are you going to get me?
Yeah.
And I just saw, she brought it up because I was like, can you believe it? I'm going to need a lawnmower. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. And then I saw my stepdad's eyes light up and he was like, oh, a lawnmower, eh?
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
We got the Home Depot catalog right here. I was like, all right, well, why don't you look into it and get back to me? And then today, or yesterday, not a full 24 hours later, he was like, so, I think we should have a quick call there. I've got a couple options I want to run by you. Like, oh my God, here we go.
That is the sign of a good stepdad.
It is. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, he did all the groundwork and then he left minimal choosing to you.
And
at the end of the day, he's going to choose what he wants to get you, which is even better.
But, and he knows his audience, right?
Yeah.
Anytime, and you do this all the time. People who know me do this all the time. They go, well, for a guy like you. That's like the most like polite way of being
I believe we've had that conversation within like the past 72 hours. Like, oh, what about this? No, you want that.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't do overkill, Dave. You don't need the John Deere.
That's so funny. I already know what I'm getting you.
What are you getting me?
Well, I'm going to wait. I have like a list of 5 things depending on the situation.
Get them
all, dude. Okay. Well,
I'm easy. We'll there you go.
We'll see.
You're welcome.
No, I'm going to do one. I'm going to wait till you're fully moved in. Okay. I'm going to do one full lap of the house, and I'm going to gauge. The list is going to change in, you know, the necessity as I take a walk through the house. And then, whatever Sam wants, I'll get her. But I'll figure it for the house. Okay. I'm going to see what you need. So,
I'm trying to think of what it might be.
Yeah. I bought one today, actually. One of the things on my list I bought for myself.
My God.
In doing research for you.
That is what happens, dude. Yeah. You find you're looking for stuff for your friends, and you're like, oh, wait, no, fuck Grant. This is cool for me.
Yeah, wow, I should upgrade to that.
Yeah.
I can't let Dave have a newer one than me. But, dude, that's exciting. I'm excited for all that and the move and whatnot. Too.
I'm looking at Severus with a heck of a hairball on air. You hear this?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Don't do it, dude.
It's a heavy one.
Oh, no, dude. Oh, my God. Do we leave this in?
That's so gross.
So, see anything good in the last week?
A lot of things, actually.
Where do you want to...
Jesus. We get him. Jesus.
Yo. You want a cough? You want a lozenge? You good?
Sounds like when they're loading the air into a bagpipe.
How do you know what that sounds like?
Oh, Jesus.
My God.
Wait, you've never seen someone play the bagpipes? They gotta prep it?
No.
No?
Oh. No, I've probably seen a giant air bladder
they gotta get.
I've seen them play bagpipes. I'm never in this bagpipe staging area.
Yeah, but it's like imminently before they start playing.
Oh,
they,
like seconds before?
They get that air in or whatever, and like, they adjust it, and then, you know, they rip roar.
Huh.
Like, it's, I guess you have to be, like, paying attention to what's going on there.
But, yeah.
I cannot tell if we're leaving this in or not.
Oh, no, we're leaving it in, dude. Okay. We're leaving it in. If we're lucky, there'll be a few listeners who have your affliction who feel ill when they hear that sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, like, I've been, like, slowly sipping at my beer to, like, not gag.
Yeah. Grant has an affliction where if you pretend vomit, he'll almost actually vomit.
It's not even the vomit. That's what everyone assumes it is.
It's the sound the gagging. Of the gagging? That gets yeah.
No, not even the sound. It's watching someone physically gag.
Oh, so the voice. It's not the sound.
The struggle.
It's the,
no.
Like, if I did it in front of you on, like, FaceTime on mute.
Yeah, that would,
it would still, that would still trigger you.
Seeing someone struggle, like, have, like, no air in that gagging moment, it, like, it immediately sends me. It's never the sound. It's just, it's the,
Well, I'm not going to kink shame you, Grant. Let's move on. All right. What do you want to talk about here? Here, let's get this out of the way. My Hero Academia.
Only anime I watched this week.
Oh, wow. There you go. Okay.
I'm not caught up on Elusive Samurai at all.
Well, that might be okay. Because I was behind last time, and I think we will have an overlap.
Okay, so
My Hero Academia, Season 7, Episode 13, it's, like, events across the ages. Like, they're doing, like, these very, like, epic-sounding episode titles, which
sure.
I appreciate. And I'm low-key still irritated because, like, this really feels like a conclusion. Arc, rather.
Yeah, it does. Like, it feels like it could have ended at the end by this episode. Like, it could have been over. You know,
yeah.
Of course, like they definitely like, oh, we're gonna blow this out for probably two more. But it felt final. It felt very final.
Yeah, like I think if you didn't know anything about the manga and you were watching this as an anime only viewer, and for the record, Grant and I have not read the manga. Mm-hmm. We're just aware of like the general pacing. But you would be watching this being like, oh, like the series is probably going to end this season.
Well, it was interesting because like I was at dinner with Leanna's parents this past weekend.
Talking about My Hero, as you do.
Well, I was talking with Joe and Joe was like, yeah, like we're there. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, like, you know, like we're almost done. Like we're almost caught up. So I think they might have one more season in them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get into details because he didn't want to spoil and all that. But he, like, it was alluded to like we're pretty much done.
Okay, so, all right. So that actually makes me feel a little bit better then.
I'm almost wondering now is, because we only have, like, what, six episodes maybe left in the season?
Yeah, and I'm guessing somewhere around there.
I think there's, well, they've, you know, I can't remember if we talked about it last time we recorded, but they you know, they kind of, you know, looped us with the Dobby stuff. Like, there's probably, we got one more fight left in him, probably.
So dumb.
I hate that. You know, we don't need to get back into that. I think we were, you know, we showed how upset we were last time, but... Mm-hmm. The one character, I think they're the lizard dude. I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah,
I think,
Spinner.
I think he is going to be kind of like rolling the season out, and then we're going to have like those couple like, you know, fluffy episodes kind of padding out the end. I have a suspicion the final season, or at least the final maybe combat arc, is going to be somewhat related to Toga.
Toga,
because they've been teeing her up a lot this season.
Oh, Toga, yeah.
Almost like she's going to be, like, a final big bad. Like, on a lesser scale of, like, you know, Shigaraki and you know, a one... Or All for One kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know, because there's the whole thing, the effort of, like, her pulling him away, her saying all this stuff to him, and Uraraka, and all... So, I don't know. They've definitely kind of set one final piece, you know, that I don't think they're going to have time to wrap up this season. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, like, you know, one of the things we've always talked about this... But the show is like, you know, it's their strength and weakness is like the sheer number of characters.
Mm.
And you gotta wonder in the like conclusion, in the culmination, like, are they gonna try and tie up every loose end? Because if so, you could probably go on for two seasons. Like, there's so many characters and so many loose storylines where it's like, is exactly to your point, like Toga. Spinner, like Uraraka, like I haven't even thought about those characters because they don't seem central to the story in any way.
No.
But like, we're gonna burn some episodes on them for sure.
Yeah, and the Spinner thing is so weird. He's like been like the most background character of the League of Villains.
For, now they got since the beginning, buff, and it's like,
and you know, it's like he's so background, and then we get like one episode with him and All for One. Of just, like, you know, how he's going to be, like, handed some key step in, like, this overall plan.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, but again, like, we talk about all the time the show and how, you know, it's a crutch, but also can be, like, one of their biggest boons is how they can kind of just pull these characters out of the weeds and just, like, really use them, in a very valuable situation and kind of, you know, whether it's, like, you know, too much loaded onto them to make them significant, but sometimes they do actually feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
So it's... I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I didn't... Like, did you like this episode? Like, did you kind of feel like it was, like, a rushed final fight moment?
No, so, good point. Like, okay, like, I came out, as usual, kind of, guns blazing on My Hero. Like, as far as the episode goes...
Yeah.
It's, like, probably the best they've done this season. It's,
sure.
It is the prettiest, for sure. Like, the animation quality that they've done is, like, really, really up there. It was really satisfying in a way... To see Izuku, like, putting everything together.
Yeah.
And being a step ahead of Tomura.
Sequencing all his quirks and,
Yeah, and I think we, and I'm not, you know, I'm not patting ourselves on the back too much here, but I think we realize, you know, back in season 5 or something, like, oh, like, he can use Black Whip. And we kind of made the connection, like, oh, I bet this is how it ends. Like, it's going to come down to Midoriya, like, chaining together all of these past quirks in order to beat One for All. We didn't know that One for All would kind of half become Shigaraki because that's stupid. Why would we predict that?
Yeah. But, I still don't like that. But,
but you know, like, so yes, it was satisfying in a way to see, like, you know, because Tomura really ran through everybody and to watch him get run through was, like, dope.
Yeah.
But it is a very, well, I almost might say it's worse than DBZ. It is a very, like, DBZ, like, we finally get, we beat the big bad, and then Frieza has one final form left. Like, it's like, but how many times are we going to do this? I get the vibe there's another gotcha or another twist coming.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's loaded. I think it's, like, loaded and already, like, coming out of the barrel.
Like, so it's like, I don't know. Like, I was really enjoying those sequences. I legit was. And I'm very curious to see how it all works out. And, like, I do still find the actual, like, the parallel storyline between Tomura and Izuku, like, interesting.
Sure.
It is still interesting, but I think the problem I have with it, which is no secret, is that it is so long and drawn out and, like, twists for twist's sake that it's hard to stay super engaged. I still feel that way.
You know, it's funny you mention, like, DBZ, because when I was watching this episode specifically was, you know, like, I know it's kind of, again, maybe it's hypocritical to say and kind of goes against what, you know, the things that you and I don't like, but I actually could have done with, like, maybe two, maybe three episodes of just, like, them thrashing each other. Like, I really would have, like, kind of see, like, you know, Tamura kind of, to a certain extent, is, like, powered down because, you know, Eraserhead and, the copy dude, or the guy that's, you know, also doing his quirk, but, you know, and, like, because they're also not on an even playing field right now. Like, Midoriya definitely has the
buff.
But, like, it would be cool to kind of see them, like, go full out. Maybe that's what we're about to get, you know, them being at an even keel, kind of, you know, throwing down. But I don't know.
I don't disagree for the record. Like, they burned 12 episodes on Tomura, like, beating everybody else up and Izuku rushing there.
Yeah.
Like, a 10-minute scene when he finally arrives is probably a little anticlimactic. I assume, to your point, there is more coming.
Yeah, like, I did find it was funny because, like, when it finally, you know, like, because I paused and I checked, it was, like, 5.5 minutes. Of, you know, setting up everything that had led up to this moment of, like, everyone being defeated and all where everyone was. And, you know, it's, and then when Midoriya kind of comes in, I was kind of shocked that they opened up with, like, Detroit Smash like that. And, you know, it's, like, the big hype moment. We're seeing it all over the internet, like, all over Twitter and Reddit. People are, like, you know, like, they're posting that, you know, 120% clip.
Yeah.
And I was, like, they kind of, like, blew their load here. Like, it felt, like, so underwhelming in the first, like, 6 minutes of the episode. Technically, minute, when it was, like, showing new footage. And I was kind of, like, oh, okay, well, like, I guess he's dead, you know? And I did like that they kind of, like, worked its way back. And he's, like, you know, continuing to use, like, Two's quirk and working his way. And, like, I don't know. They kind of, like, for me personally, they saved... by the end of the episode, like, they kind of put the air back in the sails a little bit.
How does it end?
Well, just kind of, I think, like, he's like, Shigaraki's doing, like, a more or less another power up.
Yeah.
You know, like, his, like, stomach, there was, like, that giant hole in his stomach, and then it balloons out into something.
And, oh, yes.
Yeah, so, like, you know, there's, whether it's another transformation or what have you. Let's be honest, I think this fight is going to end with, like, you know, Shigaraki on the inside. You know, it's going to be, like, an emotional battle, and, like, kind of, you know, we're going to waste, like, 10 minutes on that, fighting off, you know, all for one.
Did you watch the preview for next week?
No. I mean, I always try to
I did. Hop I regret off. It, but...
Did you? Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It looked good. It was cool to see, like, the Top Gear stuff. Like, there's some cool freeze frames in there that I got that I put on our Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast.
I really like the shot of the gear shift where he stops his inertia, and he's, like, still...
Yeah,
and then, you know, and I thought that was, like, a really cool moment of, like, oh, like, how did he stop like that? And you think there'd be, like, you know, like, wind blasting and all that, but just, you know, it's kind of like the semi-believability and the unbelievability of quirks in this world. Like, how, like, the physics just doesn't make sense often. Yeah. And, like, they can take that, and you're just like, it's fucking anime, like, I buy that.
You
know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I'm sold, like, cool, I like that moment.
You don't need to explain it twice, just let it happen.
Yeah, just let it happen.
Like, Star's power. Like, you know, like, it's just, like, literally she just speaks her quirk into existence. She's basically the author just making her powers up, like, as she goes.
I love how they reference meta abilities a couple times in this episode. Yeah. It's like, I feel like they could have, you know, in a, maybe a little earlier kind of gotten into, like, what, like, power scaling of quirks and what is considered a meta level quirk. You know, we're kind of, you know, I think that's probably the ones that kind of just, the rules of, you know, the universe kind of, like, don't associate to them as much, but I don't know. It's, all I can think back is, like, the comic book character guy, where, like, he, like, speaks words into existence.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of neat, eh?
Yeah, stuff like that.
That was a weird one. Yeah. But satisfying at times. Okay, so are you just one episode behind on Elusive Samurai?
No, I'm two behind.
Oh my god. Okay, wait, what's the last thing you remember?
The main character, I still don't know his name. He's buddied up with that. He's partnered up with that, the ninja kid. And they're currently, they had snuck into the whatever facility they were going into. And it was kind of like a cutaway ending of, you know, the ninja kid's off doing something. He tells Tokiyuki to stay there. And I think he gets spotted and the episode kind of ends.
Yeah, okay. So they're in the plot of, like, they're going to steal the Imperial Order.
That's what it is, yeah.
The episode that follows, I think, is episode 6, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, it's the screenshot, sorry for the spoiler if you saw it, that I put on our Instagram. And it's, like, probably my favorite episode of the series so far. It's all right. So fantastic. We won't get into details, obviously.
Sure.
But if you've been listening to us like prattle on and on about how great Elusive Samurai is, like, we came to that conclusion based off the pilot.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see, like, it get better and better every week. And there was one episode in there I didn't love. It might have been episode 4 or 5.
With the
horse CGI. Yeah. But they came back. Yeah, they came back really strong with this. So I'm really, really excited about, like, it's just cool when they just keep doing new shit, man. Like, there's a fucking sequence in this episode that is like, oh my god. And like, you'll know when you see it.
Shit, that's what I'm watching tonight then.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. And if you haven't checked it out yet, we're going to likely keep talking about it. So, Elusive Samurai.
They did. I saw a tweet today. One of the anime feeds that we follow. It's officially, I think it's 12 episodes. They've said that. Yeah. So, which is, you know, again, like, I'm behind, but, you know, it's, I like the 12 episode seasons, but when you get something like well made, and so you're like, oh, like 15 or like, you know, like even like a little extra. Or
no one ever complains when My Hero is only a 12 episode run, but you know, when it's Attack on Titan or this or 86, you're like, fuck, I wish they just did it all at once.
Fuck, I was, Leanne and I were at a bookstore yesterday, and
I see 86 there all the time.
I hadn't seen 86 in the wild. And I was like, oh shit, let me take a peek at that. Because it was like volume 2, so I knew it was nothing. There was no way it was something I hadn't seen.
How'd it look?
And that's a good looking manga, dude.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. Like, I got so many series that I'm reading on the fly right now. Like, I do not need to not add another one, but it is officially going on the list of, like, I would like to read this one day. Because
really?
Who knows if we're going to get that second season, right? So.
Yeah, hard to tell. Speaking of reading things, and we're not going to get deep into it.
I don't want to get into it. So I don't want to super get into it, but yeah.
But if you missed our last episode a couple weeks back, we announced that we're starting our only read-through of a manga together that we'll cover on the show. And we don't know if we're going to cover it like in these regular episodes or do big chunky review episodes, but we're both currently reading Berserk, the deluxe editions, those heavy big black tomes. I'm just curious, how far are you right now?
I'm about, I think more or less what we spoke to. Like just shy of halfway.
Touch ahead of me.
Okay.
I didn't realize, I always, and it's happening right now as we speak, I always get the terminology of volumes versus chapters mixed up.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is it several chapters to one volume or several volumes to one chapter?
It's several chapters to a volume.
Okay, so I think...
And I believe each deluxe edition, each tome has 3 to 4 of the volumes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
is my understanding.
Think then, fuck, I don't know. I just finished The Brand. I don't know if The Brand is a volume or a chapter. I don't have it in front of me. But I would say
it's also hard because a lot of series have like a different take on. Does the volume get, like, a name, or does, like, the chapter get a name? Some, like, just go, like, it's just, like, a numbered chapter.
When I,
you know,
when
like One Piece, every chapter has, like, a kind of a name to it. It's, like, a part one, a part two, whatever.
Yeah.
And then other series do as well, or other stuff, just, like, this is just chapter 2 or chapter 3, you know. Like.
When I opened it the first time, I missed it, but there's, like, a double legend on the inside of the opening page. There's a chapter, or there's a page showing you how many volumes are included, and then when you open it, it says, here are the chapters within this volume.
Okay.
I just can't remember where I'm at. But I'd say I'm roughly 1/3 of the way through.
There you go, dude.
But I'm fucking loving it.
Isn't it good? It's so funny. Maybe we can talk about this because, you know, we had talked back over text and, you know, I was thinking, I was like, you know, it's interesting because, like, there's the arguments of, like, no, like, I'm a manga reader, no, like, I'm an anime, you know, only, but every now and then, like, all it takes is that one series where you open up, and I think Berserk 100% fits this bill. Maybe for you, because I know you haven't read as much as I have.
Yeah, but, barely at all.
You know, every now and then, like, you find a series, you're just like, fuck, like, there's a reason this gets an adaptation, or, you know, there's a reason why people just prefer to read it, because, you know, like, lots and lots some animes, especially nowadays, like, the detail is amazing, but there's something about, like, that black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I've also never been a fan of colorized manga. Like, I know Bleach, you know, I tried to read some of Bleach in the colorized version. I just prefer, like, what they can do with, like, just the black and whites and really, you know, show the expression and, you know, just, like, the design, you know, like, the just, like, the character design and whatnot. But, you know, Berserk is just, like, oozes style and, like, the just, like, it's one of those ones where, you know, like, I don't think, you know, Kentaro Miura was, like, disturbed, but, like, to have, like, a vision like that, you know what I, but you know what I mean? To, like, have, like, a very grounded person, like, you know, again, in a public view to a certain extent, you know, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, but just, like, the imagination, and it's, like, when I read Dorohedoro, it's, like, amazing, you know, like, just, like, who comes up with this? And I know there's all these influences over the years, and, like, the, you know, the gothic horror stuff, and, you know, the gothic fantasy kind of, you know, it's been a long lineage, but it's just... Something about Berserk. There's a reason it's the big dog for, you know.
Yeah. I'm just excited to go in pretty cold and to know it's oddly exciting for a change to look at something this big. And, you know, we could change our minds. Like, I could read the next chapter tomorrow and change my mind. But at least at present, it is very exciting to look at it and be like, I love reading this, and it's exciting that there's so much more to follow. You know, if this bug bites us, it's like, yo, we're going to have fun with this for years.
Yeah.
So that's an exciting prospect, and I'm not trying to shit on One Piece, but hear me out. It's like, on the other end, it's like, then there's like One Piece, it's like there's 1,000 episodes. That sounds like, for some reason in my head, One Piece sounds like homework, and...
Berserk. It doesn't feel like it. When you're reading it, it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It really doesn't.
I think it's probably just what I'm attracted to, right? They're two very different properties.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm just very excited about getting into this even more.
Mm.
Okay, we should stop because I...
I feel like we'll slip in.
But yeah, this is... So consider that a tease. We're going to get something out. Probably, it's definitely safe to say this year. sooner rather than later on Berserk. So stay tuned. Anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, dude. I got... It is a lot to talk about, but I think I can kind of break it down. So, Leanna was away this weekend, and I was bored out of my mind in the evening. So, I was like, you know what? I have this running list of, like, movies that I've wanted to watch, or, like, missed over the years. And, you know, whether it's a movie podcast I listen to, you know, like, oh... And anyway, so I had, like, this running going list. And I was like, oh, shit, I have a lot of movies from 2021 that I missed. And I'm like, I'm just going to start working my way back, like, you know, towards, like, stuff that came out recently kind of thing. I watched 6 movies this week.
Oh, my God.
It was just me. Like, the kids went to bed. I was like,
I was going to say, with the baby and everything?
Well, he was in bed.
Like, yeah, but you just got it on lock. It's just weird to me that you even have that much free time. Like, with being a father, I mean. That's impressive. Well, yeah,
when they go to bed, it's like, you know, you turn into a fucking werewolf in the house, and you're just like, you know, like, let's live, you know? Like, you know? But, okay, so I'll do a quick rundown of the movies I watched. Last Night in Soho. Last Night in Soho. Okay. It's an Edgar Wright movie.
Okay.
I had seen the next one, which was Pig, the Nicolas Cage movie. But I had forgotten to take it off my list. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to rewatch Pig again.
Most Grant story ever. Keep going.
Pig, no, I only did that because I know it's a quick hour and a half movie.
Uh-huh.
And it is a really good movie. So I'm like, fuck, I can fit that in. Like, yeah. I think I watched Last Night in Soho and Pig at the same night. I watched Lee Isaac Chung's Minari, which starred Steve Yeun from Walking Dead fame.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to loop back to that one.
Okay.
South Korea was a big theme this weekend. Then I watched In the Earth, which was a horror movie. I don't recall the director's name. That was a trip. But again, I'm going to come back to all of these.
No worries.
Then I watched Decision to Leave. Was another South Korean... Dude, we're talking about that one for sure. And then I watched Triangle of Sadness, which was like kind of like marketed as like a Woody Harrelson movie. Very weird. It's weird how marketing can be sometimes. But anyways, so let's run down them quick. Last Night in Soho, great horror movie. I love the Edgar Wright films. You know, he's like he's like a big promoter of like, you know, like the like building the sets and, you know, like tangible action and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's a they do this whole thing where it's like a girl kind of. She kind of like, you can't tell if she's dreaming or if she's like going into like a different timeline, and she's going back in time. It has, Matt Smith is in it. I'm almost convinced this is what got him, House of the Dragon, because he plays an absolute bastard in this movie. Like the meanest I've ever seen him, like even more so than, Damon. What's the girl, Furiosa, what's her name? I'm blanking on it.
Oh no! Why can I never do it when I'm on the spot?
Sorry, the new Furiosa, not.
Wow. Yeah, Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, Queen's Gambit. Her. So anyway, so she's in this, and she's like set in like this previous time, like the 70s, in Soho, in England, and it's just kind of like almost like borderline like a body horror movie, and it's set in modern times, and kind of you're jumping back into the past and all that. There's a dance sequence in this movie where the two actors. Because the main character, I don't know who, I don't know her by name, but, like, she, at nighttime, she, like, becomes Queen's Gambit there. And she kind of, like, she's, like, trapped in this other world. And it's, like, you know, in the day, she kind of wakes up and she's, like, not sleep, and try not to sleep and whatnot. Really, really cool movie. But they do tricks with mirrors and a dance scene where the two girls are kind of, like, being handed off by Matt Smith. And, like, almost like this, it was one of the coolest, like, dance sequences I've ever seen in a movie. Pretty scary. Like, I thought it was gonna be like horror light. By the end, it was like kind of fucking scary.
Horror,
and like jump scares.
Horror hard. Horror dark.
Like ghost horror was a kind of the vibe, and I was like, oh, I didn't know this was gonna be a ghost movie by the end. It was really, really cool. Pig is just, you know, awesome Nicolas Cage movie. I remember at the time was like people were like talking, oh, it's like John Wick with like Nicolas Cage. It is not that movie at all.
That's a tough. I don't know if I would even want to see that.
No, but the credence of the movie is like Nick Cage is this retired chef and he's kind of like abandoned his life in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, sure.
And he clearly has had a lot.
Portland.
I suppose, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like clearly had this loss, and like he goes out into the woods, he gets a pig, he becomes like a truffle hunter or whatever, and he sells them, to restaurants in Portland and all that, and someone just like steals his pig. And, like, so there is, like, this theme of, like, him trying to find the pig. He goes back to his old haunt and, like, you know, like, showing, like, flexing his name. And, like, he was, like, this really famous guy, you know. And it's like, a weirdly quiet, cerebral movie. And it's, like, a lot about, you know, being a father and, like, you know, like, not kind of trying to, you know, like, trying to be strong. And, like, when you end up abandoning your family, like, when there is a loss in the family kind of thing. It's very, 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 very cool movie. And to rewatch it again, I was like, oh, this is, like, rocks just as much as the first time. Minari.
This I'm curious about.
Steven Yeun is probably one of our greatest living actors, like modern actors. He like, like, you know, like he like full accent and everything. Like, you know, they're like he plays an immigrant. You know, the family, like they've been in. I think it's hard to say when it's set. I think it might be like in the 60s, maybe 70s. It's set in Arkansas, but they were coming from California. So like they've been in America for a little while and he kind of moved his family. He wants to make a farm. And it's like just, it's not like a depressing family drama, but it's like, it just, I think like the whole point is like how hard it can be for, you know, especially for immigrants coming to this country, like just trying to get a foothold and like just the idea of how hard it is to just get your foot in the door in anything.
Yeah.
And then when you do, it's like, how do you like continue, you know? And I don't know, just a beautiful movie, very sad, like incredibly sad.
Oh, really?
But was there's a moment of like, it was weird. Like, cause you know, I try not to be like this as a father, but there's a moment like where the kids were like, we're goofing off and he like comes around the corner with like a toothbrush in his mouth and the way the tone he has talking to his kids, I was like, whoa, that like took me back. Like when I was a kid, you know, like whenever you know your dad had to like say something, it's a beautiful movie, Dave. Like very, very, very highly, highly recommend Minari. I don't want to get too in the weeds because it's
good performance by Steven Yeun.
Oh, dude, I can't remember if he was nominated for an Oscar, but like it to me, it's hard sometimes where you watch a movie and you're like, oh, that's like an Oscar performance, or maybe you've missed a couple movies. Genuinely. And maybe because of the hindsight, he was nominated and I was thinking about it and I just don't remember, but the whole time I was like, this dude is fucking talented. Like, so talented. And there's his son in the movie, probably one of the best child performances I've seen in a while. Just very grounded and like, kind of like, felt like a kid that age. Like, it wasn't like, you know how it's like sometimes like kids' performances can feel like they're like in a teenage, like, you know, like an adolescent feels like a teenager and a teenager feels like an adult kind of thing. Like, it felt like a kid, you know, it says kid says kid things and whatnot. But the other like really, really good performance, they're all great. The whole family is phenomenal, but the grandmother, so there's a point in the movie where the wife's mother comes from South Korea. She moves in with them. And she doesn't know English, and she, you know, so she's, like, very much, like, kind of out of touch, or, like, you know, like, where they are and all that, and she's, like, trying to learn, and she doesn't know her grandkids, she's trying to get to know her grandkids.
Yeah.
She was also, like, on par with Stevie Nguyen. Like, she, every scene she was in, like, it was, like, the two of them fighting for, like, who's, like, the best in this scene kind of thing. Very, very, very good movie. I was thinking of you the whole time I was watching it. I was like, this is a Dave joint.
Oh, really? 100%.
Yeah.
Minari?
Yeah, Minari, 100%. All right, and, dog. The other, only other one on this list.
Oh, by the way, did you rent that or would you watch it?
That was on, I watched that on Crave.
Easy.
I think all of these were on Crave, with the exception of Triangle of Sadness, that was on Prime.
It's funny, considering we're about to be poor for buying a house, we're like, we really got to get these subscriptions in order.
Yeah, dude.
Saving $14 a month, that's going to change things. But
it adds up. Well, that's the thing. I have this list. I literally have written down. I'm looking at my list in front of me. I have them written down. Prime, rent, Netflix, Disney Plus, rent. You know, because I just kind of, you know, I check in on them, see like what services they're on. But
all I was going to say is Crave is one of the few we decided to keep for whatever reason. There seems to be a lot of shit on there right now, especially when you couple it with HBO. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason to keep it. But So again, I was watching this the whole time. I was like, "Fuck! Like this is one like I would have loved to have seen with you, like, you know, at the Bytown or, you know, or something like that. You know, like one of the like the rep theaters in Ottawa. Like, this is like just a really good sit down, just enjoy the movie from the movie. Like, great soundtrack or score rather. In the Earth, not a Dave movie. It actually almost gave me a seizure in the second half of the movie. Just constant strobe scenes of like strobe lighting. The whole basis, it was interesting. I think the thing you would like about it is it was filmed during COVID, and a big part, crux of the movie is about COVID. Like, everyone's like kind of like scattered. You know, the guy shows up. Actually, the guy was in Game of Thrones. He played, I think he's technically married to Daenerys at one point, Nessos.
Goodness.
Fuck. He was like, he had like a beard. He was a younger guy. I think he was like an accountant or something. Like, he worked for like one of the houses. I'm assuming she killed him. Yeah. Anyways.
In Marine, I assume?
In Marine, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I just definitely cannot
remember. I saw him. I was like, oh shit, that guy. But yeah, so like, you know, like this guy, he's being brought on as like a research assistant. It's his like former, it's alluded to, it's his former girlfriend, this doctor. And she's studying something out in the woods. And, you know, he gets there and they do the whole like COVID check of like, you know, they take a blood sample, but they're not like calling it COVID. They're alluding that it's like a bigger like epidemic, like a very scary, again, COVID was pretty crazy, but they're making it sound like the world is dying. And it's just like, it becomes like an eldritch horror, like, you know, Lovecraftian spooky forest movie by the end of it. Very weird, very long. I was like, dude, like, yeah, I got to go to bed at some point. Like, we got to get through this. But it was definitely, like, of the movies I watched, it was probably, like, my least favorite. But it was really cool. A good horror movie.
Okay, gotcha.
Decision to Leave. This is by far the best movie I watched this past weekend. This was, like, very heavily talked about. I think this might even technically be a 2022 movie, actually, now that I think about
it. Yeah, this was a big one, though.
So this is Park Chan-wook. This is the Old Boy director. And this felt like fucking Old Boy, dude. Like, Dave.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. It, like, so it's, I didn't realize.
I did not know that guy did both those movies.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. So, okay. Yeah. So what does this mean? So, yeah, tell me about it.
So just very, quirky and weird. Like, I think one of the coolest things about the movie is, so it's about a detective. He's investigating, you know, what looks like an accident. A guy falls off the... A guy mountain climbing falls off the mountain, and they're like, oh, this kind of looks a little suspicious, and, you know, so they kind of look into it. He has a wife, and there's this whole theme of, like, her being, like, a Chinese national, or, you know, she immigrated from China, and they kind of, this whole thing of, like, oh, that's, like, very weird, you know, her circumstance, like, how did she ever get into the country, and they find, you know, they kind of find out, like, immediately, that they realize who this guy is, and he's, like an immigrant officer kind of thing, so, like, oh, this might be there might be something more to this. Like, you know, she got in, got her green card or whatever, and then killed him kind of thing. And it's weird because they open up, and he immediately, the detective, falls in love with the wife. Like, he just has this natural connection to her. And the whole movie, like, the way they talk to each other is not the way, like, people normally talk to each other. Like, it almost feels like they're in their own zone. You know, it's very strange, but it's super tightly edited, incredible action. There's, like, a couple, like, straight-up, like, fight set pieces. Like, again, not surprising considering Old Boy, but, like, just...
Yeah, good point.
But, like, you know, it's just, the guy has out of nowhere. It kind of came out of nowhere, but, like, the guy's a cop, so, like, there's, it's cool, because, like, there's this main case, and the whole movie, there's, like, the B plot is, like, there's this other case they were working on before this thing came up. And everyone's like, no, you got to focus your attention on that previous case. Like, this is like, it was an accident. Like, you know, get rid of the case or whatever. And, but I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but like, it just made me think the whole time. Like, it's a true suspense thriller. Like, every moment you're like, oh, what's the meaning behind this? Like, does he trust her? Does she trust him? Like, you know, you can't tell if they're trying to outplay each other or if it's the, you know, like this connection they have is genuine and, or not. Dave, it is, like, genuinely one of the best movies I've ever seen. And, like, to me, like, a modern Damn. Favorite of mine. And, again, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, holy fuck. Like, this is such a Dave movie.
Minari, like, or Decision to Leave More?
Decision to Leave More, for wow. sure. But Minari, I think you... It's also a speed that I know you enjoy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a slow pace. Like, it's not a fast movie. Decision to Leave is, like, go, go, go. Very tight editing. Incredible, unique transitions from scenes to another. And where you think you've moved on to a next scene, it kind of, like, cuts back to the previous one. Or, like, oh, this is, like, all in the mind. And, like...
Oh, okay.
Very, very, very cool. Finally, sorry, I know I'm very heavy-winded. Hopefully everyone's still listening. Triangle of Sadness. This movie was okay. Like, it was... Like, I know there's a lot of, people are like 50-50 on it. It was a little too on the nose. Like, the whole, like, point of the movie is, like, eat the rich. Like, fuck them. You know,
right,
like,
they're, okay.
they're all horrible people. Okay. Some hilarious set pieces. And probably one of the better sequences I've seen of a boat in troubled water. A yacht in troubled water. You know, like, most of the movies, they're out at sea. Yeah, just, like, it was a good movie. But it wasn't, like, I know some people are, like, lauding it as, like... I remember people talking about this in a similar way to, what was the one with Barry Keoghan friggin' jerking off into the tub?
Saltburn.
It's Saltburn-esque, I think, like, with the conversation around it, where, like, it was clearly very edgy, and, like, it was trying to say something, but it was, like, it almost felt like it was trying to just show you something visually, like, we all know what the meaning is, like, you're not really saying anything other than stating the obvious, you know? But, like, very, like, they really went for it. Like, there's a set piece where everyone has food poisoning, almost unwatchable for me. Like, I was like, yeah, it's funny. It's so funny because you were talking about it earlier, like, but it's like a 10-minute sequence and it doesn't fucking end. It just keeps going and
right,
going
like,
and
I
going
want off this ride.
It's seriously like, get me off the boat, like, you know, jump in the sea. But also, like, very, very funny. They're like, there's a couple, like, straight up, like, they do this thing where, like, you're meeting all the couples on the boat. And
okay.
As every time you meet a new couple, they have like this almost like this comedic set piece to like kind of define like who these people are. And there's this one British couple that I was just like, oh, that's like really funny. That's like probably like the best part, like one of the best jokes in the movie. But yeah, so that was my weekend. Thank you for everybody who stuck around and listened to my rambling. But like I said, of these six,
movie binge with the boys.
Movie binge. Yeah, genuinely, if there's any. Top Decision three, to I would say Decision to Leave, Minari, Pig. Just again,
in that order?
Yeah. After doing the rewatch. And then I really did like Last Night in Soho. In the Earth was a good horror movie. And Triangle Sadness was good. It was a little long in the tooth, I found. But yeah. It had nice moments. And I was like, oh, by the end of it, I was like, oh, there's like five, like, you can count five really good moments that I, like, made me laugh and I enjoyed and I kind of felt warm watching them. I was sure. like, yeah, that was worth the almost 2.5 hours.
That's long.
Oh, dude. It
two was and a half is long.
Yeah.
Damn, but, dude.
So thank you well, for everyone for listening.
Well, Minari and Decision to Leave, I remember liking both. And then Sam was like, I'm not in the mood for those. Because that's what she says. Let's watch Love Island.
Brutal.
I hope she hears that and yells at me.
Decision to Leave is like the one to watch though, dude.
It's, yeah. Well,
I was watching it like 20 minutes into it. I was like, oh, this is clearly the guy that made Old Boy. Like, it's very, like, he has a style. Ooh. I haven't seen too many of his movies. I've seen The Handmaiden, which people say is, like, his best. And I would agree, I think, of the three. Three that I've seen. But, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll try and prioritize Decision to Leave in Minari. Maybe. I've got some travel ahead of me. Maybe I can... I don't want to reduce one of these to an airplane movie. But honestly, it's kind of the only time I get. I'm kidding.
I wouldn't reduce them. Yeah, that's at home.
I won't do you dirty like that. But I bet this is probably a good time to tell the audience. I think Grant will do a solo episode for next one. But even if he doesn't, no matter what, I'm not here. I'm moving. We talked about that already. So this will give me some time to catch up a little bit and then come back in our, guns blazing. Sweet. Maybe we can catch up. While we're on movies, actually, I'm going to give you a quick review of... I told you that I watched this a while ago, but we never talked about it. And I do not expect you to remember everything about this movie. But I finally got a chance to watch Enemy. Denis Villeneuve, Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Yeah.
And I think I can boil down the...
Toronto Haze movie.
Yeah. I think I can boil down the strength / I don't know if you've ever done SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. But the SWOT on Enemy is very interesting because I think this movie is either like absolutely fantastic.
Sure.
Or like it's just gonna piss you off. Like, and it's really interesting how like it I truly believe after having seen it and then read reviews and watched an explainer video and then going through it again, like kind of parsing through it, that most people will fall on one side of that, of either aisle.
So, I remember feeling like right down the middle with that one.
I'm not gonna explain. I'm not going to give anything away. If you're interested in Enemy, like just watch a trailer and like, cause I don't think there's a good way I can explain the plot or to sell you the movie without spoiling it. And I'm not going to spoil it here, even though it is an old as fuck movie.
It's at least 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But even then I watched it so long ago, I'm not going to remember all the details, but what I was going to say is like, I remember watching it and being like watching the ending and being like, what the fuck? Like, it ends on a massive, massive cliffhanger. Mm. And I only really pieced it together because of my boy, Chris Stuckman, who's, in my opinion, one of the best movie critics on YouTube. He did a full like technical breakdown and analysis of the movie that explains kind of like his take. And he also, though, it's not just like him like being like, here are my observations and what I think is happening. He's like piecing in like interviews from Denis Villeneuve, like confirming everything he's saying.
Mm.
But my question is this, is it a good movie if like you have to kind of watch that explainer, or if you have to read about it, or if you have to watch it, I don't know, 3 to 5 times in order to get the plot. But at the same time, every time, once you get it, once the light bulb clicks, it becomes unbelievably good. But what about all the people who the light bulb doesn't click for?
I've always had, a mutual friend of ours once, years and years and years ago, it forever changed my view on movies. I think for the better is, you go into a movie, it's getting, blown up by critics and this and that. If you go, you spend the movie, if you can walk away with a couple things that you genuinely liked about it, you could just be in a theater. The whole experience, at the end of the day, if you can find something enjoyable, it doesn't have to be a masterpiece or whatever. I was thinking that when I watch a movie, and for me, if at the end of the day, when you finish the movie, if I'm thinking about it and it leads me to where I feel like I have to go look into something.
Yeah.
And you can split that down into even one more level of I'm genuinely confused. And that made no sense to me.
Yeah.
I guess you can kind of push that to the one side and say, I don't think the movie's successful in that regard. But if it gets to a point where I'm shit, I would like to read more about that. Or I have been thinking about it. I think the movie's success, I think that's a win for it. I think that gives it points,
Yeah.
And I think Enemy is an example of that. I'm just I thought about how scary that situation would be for a little too long.
Yeah.
Spoiler, it's not a doppelganger situation, but it's just a lookalike movie.
Yeah, but
right?
The thing is, do you want like the spoiler?
Sure, you can hit me with that. It's an old enough movie.
It's old, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's... Okay,
it's one of his first... It's one of his first... I think it was his last movie before he got picked up by the studios.
Yeah, like Arrival. He like got this and then did Arrival, I think. Or maybe he got Prisoners afterwards. But this was
Prisoners was before, yeah.
Oh, it was before?
Like Prisoners was before Arrival.
Oh, yes.
Arrival
was a
couple movies later.
But anyway, okay. So if you don't want the spoiler for Enemy, this tell-old movie, all I will say is watch the trailer, turn on the movie... have questions, and then if you want answers,
it'll
come back
in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. But the, oh God, and I don't want to butcher this. I'll send you the video if you're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe I can put it on our stories as well.
I really need to check out this Chris Stuckman.
Oh dude, he's so good. But the, and this, like, again, this is what Denis Villeneuve confirms. And it's that the real Jake Gyllenhaal is the one that the main character finds. It's the one that he locates. He sees him on TV.
So he's the imposter. Yeah.
He's the imposter. But it's not like a literal, like they aren't actually two human beings. It's a metaphor for Jake Gyllenhaal just can't stop cheating on his wife. He can't stop being this shitty fucking guy. And it makes him feel as though he's living a split life. And there's two women in his life. And in one angle of his life, he's this absolute dirtbag underachiever who cannot put the pieces together. And then there's this other version of him where he's got it all, but he just can't seem to let go of all these other things that are ripping his life apart. And then spiders are just a literal metaphor for women in the movie.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is why his wife is terrified of him and turns into a spider at the end. I told you there'd be spoilers, people.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now I need to rewatch that movie.
Now you got... Yeah. Right? But now, okay, like, I'll send you the video.
But, okay, so to your point, okay, I watched that movie. Like I said, I was, like, a little, you know, split on it. But, like, I did enjoy it. I didn't need... Like, you telling me that has not, like, really changed my opinion. Like, at the time, I was like, oh, that was a cool movie. And
yeah.
I took it from what I did. You know, sometimes it is nice that, like, oh, this is what it's about. Oh, that is cool. But at the time, I was like, I just enjoyed the movie for what it was. And I think... I'm not trying to say, like, you know, like I'm fucking, like, a caveman or anything like that. But I have a very comfortable time just kind of, like, riding the outer to first two layers of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I am comfortable in that zone. I don't need all the answers.
I guess.
But, yeah.
My thing with this movie is, like, go watch this explainer video, then watch it again. And I think the movie jumps up, like, 8 rungs. And it's like, I was like...
I see what you're getting at.
You know what I mean? I was like, okay, well, this enhanced the experience so much more. But then my immediate feeling was like, well, shit, man, what if I never looked into this? Like, this might be one of my favorite movies now, but it required an explainer video. And I remember,
dude, you have to fucking watch Decision to Leave. After, like, talking this conversation, movie will keep you spinning for
but
weeks.
But it's funny, though, right? Because I remember having the similar take and bitching about Tenet and telling people, like, yo, if you gotta watch 8 explainer videos, like, it's not a good movie. It failed its ability of telling a cohesive story. I think the difference is you can probably explain... Enemy to someone in 1 minute if you're coming off it fresh, sure. 1 minute or less, which is what I gave you, and that's like I watched that movie like months ago, right? And I have a very bad memory. Tenet, that's an exercise in patience, and like you might need to storyboard, and you may.
I've only
need...
seen that the one time. I should rewatch that.
I think they're re-releasing, or I think several
doing...
good movies are doing re-releases soon. I think
a
Whiplash,
lot of Nolan's movies.
Nolan. Do you know? Same, oh, it's Interstellar, isn't it?
Yeah, Interstellar's getting another run.
Dude, we should see that. Tenet. I didn't even see that in theaters.
You didn't see Interstellar in theaters?
No.
Ooh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be down for that. Whiplash.
Soundtrack alone is worth it.
Yeah, or Interstellar. Have you seen all those BTS videos of Nolan telling the story of how Hans Zimmer came up with the score?
No.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's, Nolan, typically, it's like, you know, you show them the movie, like the soundtrack person, the composer, the composer, and you're like, hey, you know, like this ethereal feeling, this is the emotional scene, and I want you to, you know, score it as you look at it. And he didn't do any of that. He sent Zimmer like pieces of the script. Saying that it's about a story between a father and son or a father and daughter. And being like, write music to this snippet of the story. And that's how you got like the iconic Interstellar theme.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's funny that it works so beautifully with, like, space travel.
Yeah.
God, we gotta watch that fucking movie. I haven't seen that. That's crazy. Yeah, I haven't seen that in
I only ever saw that the one time, actually.
Me too.
I saw it in theaters, and that was it.
Me too.
Fuck, man.
All right, anyway, we got from... Well, actually, they're probably the two of the best working directors today. Villeneuve and Nolan. And aren't they, like... Aren't they, like, directing each other's... Aren't they doing a thing? Aren't they collaborating? I know they're, like, literally fans of each other. They interview each other for movies and
shit.
Yeah,
it's pretty evident, yeah.
But aren't they going to collaborate or something? I can't remember.
Well, they're in the same studio system now. They're both at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I can't remember if they're going to do something. Anyway, okay, so that's Enemy, and that's Interstellar.
Fuck.
Brief news.
A little bit of news? Yeah. Some good news. Well, good news. Interesting news.
You go.
Probably not the news you're expecting. So Hunter x Hunter is coming back. It's going to be a weekly manga again, starting October 7th.
I think I heard about this.
Yeah, this is a big deal. So I think Togarashi is his name, the manga. He's always had very bad health. And have you ever seen the famous photo of, like, what his apartment looks like in the heyday of Hunter x Hunter?
No, I'm remarkably unplugged on Hunter.
It's fucking disgusting. I don't know if people really live like that. Anyway, it's like total, like, you know, Japanese shut in. Like, you know, it's like Mushoku Tensei. What was Rudius's room?
Rudius,
like,
as a human.
His previous life or whatever.
Yeah.
Very much like that. But anyways, so he was, Hunter x Hunter was, like, still weekly at that time. Or, like, it was, like, I think maybe monthly or something like that. And then he went in January 2023. He's like, I gotta dip out. I'm ill. You know, like, he's sick. He's taking some time. And then he teased, like, that March, saying, I've finished chapter 401. And then in May, he kind of came out of the woodwork and was like, oh, we're putting the finishing touches on chapter 405.
Okay.
And then no one's heard from them since. And then just, you know, 2 days ago, they announced that as of October, it's going to be weekly. So he clearly has, like, a bunch, you know, they're going to hopefully be able to, you know, work ahead or whatever. But I know people are excited because it was, like, getting, like, really good. It's at the height of its, like, story, I think, when it kind of, like, went out. And there's years and years and years of, like, nothing. And then he came back and then he was sick again. And now we're at now. So I know people are pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I was, when I was getting my most recent tattoo, I think the artist was telling me Hunter x Hunter's coming back. And then I was like, I've never seen, like, even a frame of that. And I got a bunch of
shit. I'm sure you have.
I mean, clips, but I can tell you with confidence, I've never watched a full episode or even.
Oh, neither have I. Neither have I. I remember I went down a rabbit hole because people always say, because there was an anime in the 90s and people are like, yeah, like the 2000s one is, like, great and all that, but, like, the vibe and the style of the 90s one. And I remember, like, curious to see what that was and what they meant with, and, like, you know, it was like, you know, it's like watching fucking, you know, Ghost in the Shell. Like, they really went for it back in the 90s version and all that.
Man,
just,
they,
like,
did. You gotta watch some of these 90s episodes or 90s things, man.
I do think genuinely, it come the fall, because I know we're gonna have some big shows, but I think we should try and find a window where we pick, like, two more movies.
Is there anything, like, great? I agree. Sorry. We should do that. Is there any, like, major pieces of IP that we're waiting on? Like, I just feel like Jujutsu's done. Attack on Titan's done. Like, is there anything crazy franchise oriented that we're waiting on?
Like,
Demon Slayer is, like, a while away.
Returning. Yeah, Demon Slayer's a while
away. Mushoku just finished.
The big stuff's kind of over. Now it's, like, you know, kind of the...
This is actually kind of, I was going to say, it's kind of good news. Like, we can get to some OG shit that we've been meaning to watch.
I've been, like, the algorithm's been pushing Angel's Egg on me, like, it's going out of style. And I'm more
movie,
curious.
Right?
That's a movie.
I've got that laying around somewhere.
So we could watch that. We should watch a couple. And Perfect Blue, I've always wanted to see that. You know,
I think I watched that years ago. Mm. Or maybe I queued it up. I think I have that one too, dude. We should do the... Perfect Blue, I get a lot more in my, you know, in my feed for recommendations. That is probably a good one for us to watch.
Yeah. We should do something.
Yeah. All right, anyway.
But yeah, you teased it up. Jujutsu Kaisen's ending. It's
September
30th, yeah.
Yeah, so the manga's ending. I was telling you, and I'm not going to do anything without clearing it with my boo, but I was saying to you in the group chat,
yeah.
Fuck, man, I've hit so many spoilers. Should I just read this fucking thing? I don't know.
I think so. I think I might.
Okay, if you do, I think
I'll
just
wait.
Go
I'm not gonna jump on it before you do. We'll have to make an agreement, but I think I might.
Is it in that Shonen Jump app you've been talking about? Like, just subscribe and then I can just fucking blitz it?
$3 a month, baby.
Oh my god. It's like, it kind of feels like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Is the art half decent?
Yeah, I think so. It's not like a Demon Slayer situation where it's like, you know, it looks like, you know, poo. like it looks good. But yeah, I don't know. Liana likes it. Like, I think that's what she's in for it now, is like the art style and kind of, you know, what they do. Like, you know, she kind of says at this point, like, when I mentioned that it was ending, she goes, "Oh, that's weird." Like, I don't think she got like the vibe that it was like just going to be ending like that. So I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious to see what she thinks of the ending.
See, but, why I'm curious too, because all I hear is like the reports from everyone are like, they're pretty polarizing about how fans currently feel about it. And I'm just curious. I'm like, where the hell is this going? But it's also a pain in the ass, because you and I have been through this with AOT. It's like, people are mad about the ending, let's say, today. I don't know if I care about Jujutsu Kaisen that much to wait 5 years to see what they're upset about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. Because that's the thing, too. The thing I find curious, and again, I don't... Because, like, I have to avoid all this stuff, like, with the series. Like, I haven't done, like, the deep dives that I could be doing. But what I'm so curious is, like, Shonen Jump is now... They've now just released two of their biggest franchises. Like, Hunter x Hunter is big, but that's not going to be pulling people in the droves back to the, you know, to the manga. Sakamoto Days is one of their biggest running series right now. Like, genuinely, it's very big. And the anime is coming out, like, soon. So, like, you know, I'm excited. We're very excited for that. Leanna's over the moon excited for Sakamoto Days.
When is that, roughly, again?
I believe it's either September or November.
Okay. So, right around the corner.
Yeah, it's soon. The end of September, beginning of November. So they have that, but like Black Clover is also ending, or is about to end. So that's their other, like, one of the new big three was like Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero, and Black Clover. So it's kind of curious. Like, they must have something in the pipe coming. They are known to like not let the mangakas go. And the fact that like Jujutsu Kaisen, like, kind of out of nowhere is like, oh yeah, in like five chapters, like, you know, it's out of here.
Yeah.
And again, and people seem to people are pretty convinced that like there's going to be like a My Hero
sequel,
like, you know, a la Naruto, like Boruto Next Adventures or whatever it's called. But like, you know, I don't know if they're afraid to do that because Boruto's getting fucking blown up, like, since it's, you know, conception. Like, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. All people are pretty polarized on the ending of My Hero too, actually.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, when it's done, and we can let that dog have its day / kick the dead horse of whatever it ends up being, but we'll reserve judgment. We've bagged on them enough today.
I will say this. Like, in my experience, again, you know, in reading manga, it's very rare where something is just, like, you know, neatly wrapped up in five chapters. I find that, unless, like, they do, like, a full, like, a long, you know, because, you know,
your take is based off of, like, Liana saying, like, it doesn't feel like it's within five chapters of wrapping.
I think she was just kind of surprised, like, oh, really? Like, you know, like, I think it's at, like, maybe a critical mass point where, like, for it to be ending so quick is probably catching a lot of people off guard.
Sure.
He's
been saying he wants to end it.
Yeah. Well,
it's tricky, right? I get all the news cycles. Oh, the climactic battle is happening this week. I'm like, shut up. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But if they're in the, quote, climax, I mean, you know, it's a shonen. It's like, you kill the bad guy, you wrap up the story.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm curious. I'm so curious. I think I might. We're gonna have to talk. We'll see. Let's wait till September 30th.
Oh, you know what? That would be nice. Oh, okay. You said September 30th. I was like, you know, it'd be nice if I could read that on the plane. That way, I'm gonna watch these movies.
Dude, at the very least, you can catch up to Shibuya. Like, that's at least.
Oh, that's,
you
know, a good point. And I'll get probably
85 chapters, maybe 100 chapters,
and I'll get a pretty good vibe of whether or not I enjoy it.
Yeah,
like reading it on an iPad, for example.
I don't know, like, from what I have read, and I asked Liana straight up, I was like, what was the best the series has ever been? And she was like, Shibuya.
Yeah, you kept telling me that. The whole fandom felt that way, right?
And so it was like, kind of like, it's only, like, does it go down from here? Or is it, like, you know, is it middling? Like, what is it? And everyone's like, no, like, its peak was, like, this, what we just saw. And, you know, it was good, but I wouldn't consider what we saw to be anything of, like, well, like, this is, like, one of the greatest ever, you know? Like, it's a bummer, because I really, really like the product.
It was a fantastic arc. Like, it was absolutely a banger arc. It's just hard to, like, it's just hard sometimes to, like, step outside of, like, a specific arc, because it's like, yeah, but it's so bittersweet if that's as good as it gets, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Okay. We could over-rotate on this for a while. Speaking of bittersweet... there's some Attack on Titan news.
Oh, fuck, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah, but we don't have to spend a ton of time on it. But the brief update is that it's coming to theaters, at least coming to theaters in Japan in November of this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be
We're going to get it. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, it's going to be 145-minute special, which is just, it's the ending. I think, I can't remember if there's a name attached to it.
They have said, like, a lot of stuff's been cleaned up. For they, it's interesting because they said it's weird for them to like openly say it. Like the fixes that were on the Blu-ray, like apparently they're going further than that with the theatrical release. So
I don't know, man. Okay, I'll say it again for the record, especially if anyone thinks we're coming or I'm coming across more negative than usual. Like, I think Attack on Titan is a borderline masterpiece. There are absolutely nitpicks if you want to be that guy, which I often am. But even then, even me, I still think it's like a fucking 9.5 out of 10. I think it's absolutely stunning what they managed, what he managed to do. But I, you know, Grant and I have said for a long time, like the release schedule of the final season, the naming convention of the seasons was like very confusing, really drawn out. The quality issues that they had are like, they've admitted them at this point pretty openly. And I think it probably hurt the series in the end. So to have not one, not two, but technically three versions of the ending, between what aired, the special release Blu-ray, and then like a cash grab in the movie theater where they fix it even more. It's like, and they admitted that they fucking storyboarded the whole thing as a movie in the first place.
Yeah.
Which makes sense based on the pacing. And then like had to go back on it and then break it up. It's like,
well, let's be honest. I think that was production, or not.
Yes.
I think that was the rights owners for the like the animation. Yeah. I don't think that's like a studio. It's not a MAPPA. Well, let's not, you know, I'm sure they're involved in some managerial position, but I don't know.
I guess my point is like the production was just plagued with issues the minute MAPPA took over. Like there was just so many problems.
Yeah. Well, probably because, you know, like it was evident. Like I remember there was that interview a couple years ago with Studio Wit, the director of Studio Wit, and he's like, we weren't going to deal with that shit. Like they walked away. You know, it wasn't like they weren't giving it to them. They didn't agree to like what was like the, you know, the conditions of like how it was supposed to be presented. So,
and MAPPA will meet any deadline.
Any deadline, but I don't know.
Anyway, I already bought a ticket.
No, yeah, 100% be seeing that. You cannot pass up.
Not on the big screen, dog.
You can't.
Curious if I'll cry in the theater. I need to know how I feel.
The rumbling and friggin' the big screen.
Oh, it's the end that kills me. I just can't listen to Mikasa. Okay. All right.
I got one more little piece of news.
Me too. You too. Okay. You go first.
So right now in Germany, there's the Gamescom conference right now. It's like a video game conference, you know, announcements and teasers and stuff like that. But in the presentation today, do you know Tim Miller? He directed the first Deadpool movie.
I was going to say, that's the only thing I know him from.
Okay, so I did not know this. He runs a animation studio and called Blur Studios. And he's been, like, you know, been around a long time. Like, you know, they did stuff on all the way back to the South Park movie, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. But they're, for video games, they're known for in-game cinematics and, like, opening cinematics and stuff like that. So, also, Tim Miller is the co-creator with David Fincher for Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, no way.
He has a new series coming to Amazon Prime in December. And
wait, David Fincher is involved in Love, Death, and Robots?
The first season. He was.
Sorry.
But Tim Miller was involved with the second. They're both series. And I believe a couple other people involved. But like, it's Tim Miller's studio. Is like, he kind of organized it. They did some of the episodes and whatnot. Like, he does like all the title sequences for David Fincher's movies. Like, that's how I think they got linked up.
No kidding.
Like, you know, like the famous one, the opening for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That was Tim Miller.
Wow.
Blue Studios. Yeah. But anyway, so they're doing a series called Secret Level. It's coming out. It's coming out in December, and it's going to be 15. It's an anthology series again, but it's all officially licensed from various video games. Like, there's going to be.
That's kind of. Here, interesting. Yeah, do you got any names?
Yeah, they listed them all. So we got Armored Core, Concord, Crossfire, Dungeons and Dragons, Exodus, Honor of Kings, Mega Man, New World, Pac-Man, and PlayStation Studios is involved. There's going to be a Sifu one, Spelunky, The Outer Worlds, Unreal Tournament, Warhammer 40,000. They showed a snippet. There's an official teaser. I highly recommend you watch it. This is going to be, like, the thing to watch at Christmas. Like, everyone's going to be sitting around watching this fucking thing. Like,
no kidding.
Yeah, dude. It looks awesome. I watched it live. He was, like, fucking, like, borderline started, like, he was choking up on stage. He was so emotional about it. He's, like, such a video game fan.
Wow.
And, dude, like, it's worth, I honestly, go watch, like, the clip of him from, like, the reveal, and then watch the teaser. Like, it is exceptionally good. It's going to be, it's going to be called Secret Level.
Secret Level.
Yeah, it's going to be on Prime as well, Amazon Prime.
Okay. Oh, Prime.
But,
good for the little guy, you know?
Yeah, the little guy. So I'm wondering if the Netflix partnership didn't continue.
Well, yeah, that was why I took it. That was my, like, instinct. That's very interesting. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Good news.
It looked really, really cool, dude. I was just like, this is such, like, Dave and Grant core. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, we're talking about this tonight.
I'm looking forward to that. And then I guess my only news, this is barely news, is I saw this morning or yesterday the Acolyte, Star Wars Acolyte, canceled after one season.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No renewal.
People did not like that, though.
Very polarizing, very controversial. I asked a friend of mine who's a board, actually, probably the only guy I know more into Star Wars than you, and I, you know, Star Wars fans, though, right? Like, it's just, yeah. I was gonna say, I think the mob is dangerous at times. I just said, like, do I watch this or do I not? Mm. Now that I know it's canceled, and his take, and I'm curious what your thoughts on it are, was as a show, it's probably like a 5 out of 10. As a Star Wars show, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's like a 1 out of 10.
Holy shit.
He's like, I literally was like ruining the franchise for me. And I was like, Jesus, all right, you're one of these people. But it really seemed to piss people off, huh?
Well, yeah, I didn't get into the weeds. So I guess my insight is it's set during the old, or kind of the old Republic. And I remember when they made this whole push for, like, they started in, like, the book series, this whole new era. It was all going to be set during this time period. I believe that's when the Acolyte kind of takes place. I remember being like, oh, this is, like, a fun, exciting time, like, the new Star Wars canon to, like, jump in. And, like, traditionally, the books, the Star Wars books, are very good. There's a Princess Leia one that's really good. There's, there's an X-Wing group one. There's, actually, we talked about it in the podcast, there's one called Master and Apprentice of Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan that I highly recommend read. It's very, very good. Like, when, you know, they're quite young, and, or when Obi-Wan is quite young. But, yeah, and I remember, like, when this new, like, kind of, like, time period and all these books were being written, I tried, like, so hard to get into them, and I could not. I was like, this is, like, one of those things where, like, leave the past alone, reference it, you know, make the references to Darth Plagueis, like, you know, have the mystery, have the allure. Sometimes when you shine the light on it, it's, like, it's not what you wanted, you know? So it's, I don't know. It's like, I never watched The Acolyte. I saw a couple snippets. I know there's a really good clip going around of a guy reacting to this. There's a scene in the second or the third to last episode of, like, stealing essentially, like, the power out of a kyber crystal of, like, the lightsaber, like, as it's, like, in use kind of thing. People are, like, raging, like, that's not how, like, that works in the universe. Like, did they even, like, check the fact book on this one?
I think there was a lot of that, like, a lot of the snippets that I'd see just, like, of just angry people as, like, they're breaking lore rules, they're doing that, like, you know, they're not respecting the canon. And I'm like, I don't know what to believe, you know. Anyway, I think I may have eventually checked it out if it kept going, but I think the big thing, and I bet you'll agree, is, like, if I'm behind on Star Wars stuff, I think the move is probably to prioritize Andor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and people are getting a little shaky about that now, too.
Because, why? What
about not Diego Luna. Who's the lead guy for...
I have no idea.
The main actor, Andor himself there.
Colin Andor.
Anyway, so the actor came out. It'll come to me later. He made a reference saying, like, the second season is gonna, like, change your perception on what took place in the movie in Rogue One. And everyone's like, but no, like, fucking Rogue One is, like, so, like, it's perfect, like, for what, like, it is genuinely, like, the last great Star Wars movie in my opinion.
Oh, it's so good.
And, you know, like, and after, did you watch the first season of Mandalore?
No, that's what I'm telling you. I have to prioritize it.
Okay, so, like, it's interesting to hear these quotes, and, like, you know, it could just be, like, bullshit marketing or whatever, but, like, I enjoy the fact of, like, how is he going to get from who he is in the Andor series to, like, who he is in Rogue One?
Who is he in Rogue One again?
Well, he's, like, the, like, kind of, like, the leader of the band of, you know, like, you know, rebels, like, kind of, you know, they're on the mission. He's, like, kind of, he's, like, the subterfuge guy. He's, like, you know, he's, like, the, you know, the man. Like, he's, like, getting shit done kind of guy. He's, you know, like, not afraid to kill or whatever.
Okay.
Great character, like, you know, anyway, so, people, like, they're kind of making it sound like, you know, like, they're retconning some stuff. I think that's what everyone's assuming, like, you know, again, it's a quote, people are kind of running with it, but...
Right.
But, like, when you watch the end of the first season of Andor, you're not, like, it doesn't feel like it's retcon, so, like, what are they going to drastically change to make, like, the movie feel different, you know? Yeah. So it's, I don't know, I just...
People are nervous. Andor,
dude. People are nervous. Everything's Star Wars. It's a fucking shit show now, dude. Like, even the animation stuff is, like, getting fucking boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would go to bat to no end for the animation stuff. Now I couldn't care less.
It just seems like, you know, I think they were, you know, maybe we'll have, like, a retrospective, like, you know, several years down the line. But I think maybe there'll be, like, a docuseries where it's like, you know, I think Disney was so excited for the IP and they spent so much money on it. It was like, all right, start churning out content, like, now. Mm. And I just don't know. It doesn't feel very cohesive. It doesn't feel like storylines and like the grander vision of like the universe was really considered, especially with those fucking movies. Mm. Like directors playing hot potato with storylines, like jumping movie to movie like that is like, that's such a horrendously bad look. Mm. It's just a wild way to treat one of the most expensive pieces of IP.
Yeah.
Anyway. Look at that. We ended up on Star Wars. We've come full circle. I think that's it, man.
Yeah, that's all I got.
This is what always happens. We always go, dude, I'm a little light this week. I don't think I'm going to have much. I mean, cut two. We're 75 minutes in.
We're just good conversationalists.
Yeah, we just nail it. Or one of us just likes the sound of their own voice. It's me. All right. Find us on TikTok. That's right. The youths. We're there. Street youths. At Part Time Otaku Podcast, same place on Instagram. If you want to get really wild, find us there on Threads. I bet we're there. Otherwise, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify. Pick your subscription poison. We're likely there. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a little bit. See you next time. Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.